Church Court. Coming this evening, thank you so much for your patience. Pastor Zach said that we are on island time. So thank you. The Bible says in Ephesians 3, and God gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning of craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, and causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Tonight, we as church family, and that's both small C and big C, and Suburban Park Baptist Church, and also those who are guests this evening, we are here to exalt the Father. He is so good and gracious and kind to us, and most specifically to his people, and he gives his church what exactly it needs for the advancement of his kingdom. And one of his desires and gifts is to give pastors to his church. And so tonight we are here to celebrate a gift that God has given to us as a pastor, and the call on Pastor Zachary Villaforte's life. And so that's what we're here to do, is to exalt our Father for his kind gifts to his church. Would you pray with me, and then we'll worship him tonight for music. Father God, it is such a joy to know you in salvation in Christ, to reflect and remember what you have done for your church. God, you are yourself the greatest gift. You are the one who sacrificed for your church. You are the one who died, and you are the one who is risen from the grave. And because of that, there is victory. Because of that, God, there is also a mission for your church. And tonight, God, as we gather together as your people, may we sit back and reflect and be in humble awe because of who you are and what you've done. But may we also, God, tonight be grounded in truth and in a mission for what this is about, Lord, for your church. Lord, that we are called to be salt and light, and that we are called to be your hands and feet in this church together. And that you are constantly pursuing your people and putting and knitting together your church together to fit just perfectly. As your hands and feet. And so, God, may we just remind yourself of that. May we look to see what role and a part of the body that we each play and not just spectate this evening. And again, we are here to exalt your name and to lift you up, because as the scripture says, we lift you up, you draw people to yourself, and that is our heart, Lord, is to be where your heart does. So may that be true tonight.
iPhone camera.
process formally with Zachary. Zachary, I never call you Zachary. That reminds you, that gives you like flashbacks, doesn't it? This has been about a 1-year process formally with Zach as far as ordination process for training and theological training. Certainly he stands on his own feet, no doubts, but Zach and I and a few others in our church body kind of went through some material together. Certainly the Word of God, and to just grow together, to learn about life, to talk about ministry, to talk about how the Word of God applies to our life and ministry. And Zach and I have been partners together. Zach came to Smyrna Park in 2011, and it's just been a wonderful blessing. It's been a wonderful journey. Not just and so it is a joy to come together and to at this moment to celebrate what God has done in his life and what he's going to continue to do in the future. And so at this time in the service, we're going to ask a handful of folks at different times to come and they're going to share bits and pieces of their part and their role in Zach's life and also for this ordination process. And so somebody said age before beauty, so Marty, you're up. So Marty, come forward, and then Bob, you Bob will then move.
Zachary. Stephanie, do you call him that music? No. Zachary, we're here to. I've known Zach for some years. We've both been in youth ministry together. And the first time I met him, I said, I like this guy because he's crazy. And I did. It was just like, that was it. That was a spiritual gift, you know, this insanity. He was like all over the place telling his stories, and it was like, this guy's nuts. And it was an affinity, you know what I mean? Crazy, birds of a feather, right? My grandmother used to tell me. But, and so, you know, and interesting when you were saying how long you've been a part of your church, because we planted a church up here. We were coming up on our 3-year anniversary. Before we planted, I knew he was up here and he was making a transition. I'm like, well, why don't you come join us? Why are you going over there with this guy? Hey, I'm in church. I got to tell the truth, right? I tried to steal your youth pastor before you got it. Forgive me. You forgive me, right? Yeah. Some people are looking at me like, oh, if I forgive you. What does it take him that long? No, but and so we've known each other for a few years, and I enjoyed him. And then when your pastor invited me in on the ordination council and to be a part of that, it was just great. And when I thought about what I would share with him is that one, you've been blessed to be in this church. I mean, really, that not that I think this church is perfect, but I believe in the encouragement that you get from your senior pastor that he makes time to be with you, to invest in you, to share life with you. And that's invaluable. And you want to make sure you treasure that. So whenever the opportunity comes for you to put somebody in your room, you do the same thing for them. And that is just a great blessing of your pastor making time to invest in your life. And what I thought about when I got my first paid position, because I've been in ministry. Somebody asked me, how long have you been ordained? Your pastor keeps trying to figure out how old I am. But what I do is when I get my hair cut, I just cut all the gray off the side so you really can't tell. But I'm old, okay? I say that. But I've been in full-time ministry, paid ministry, 13, 14 years, and then I did prison ministry. I got paid for that. But one of the things when I started working for a church and they started paying me, because I volunteered for like 10 years before I got paid. But when they started paying me, I started feeling like I had to justify what I was doing. Not that anyone did that to me. That was inside of me. I started like, oh, I got to show them that I'm doing this and I'm doing that. But this is ministry. This is working for God, and God is going to give the increase. So I started thinking about you and thinking what kind of encouragement I would give you. And so I thought about this scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And the scripture says, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things that which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh of glory in his presence. And the bottom line is, you're in this position because God calls you. It wasn't about that you went to Bible college. It wasn't about, you know, all your experiences, as great as they were. It's because God has called you. And because God has called you, God will use you. And so with the people of God, this church, what I would encourage you, that this is one of the gifts that God has given this church. Imperfect and all, but God has chosen him for ministry, and he needs you guys to partner with him in that process. So my encouragement to you, even though I know Dave's going to give you just a big fat paycheck increase, right? Okay, maybe not. But regardless whether that happens or not, with the title of pastor, all that, it's like because you're called of God, that you are faithful and you answer to him, don't change. You were insane when you got here. God knew it when he called you. God will still use you. So don't change. So you know what I mean? Don't let it, you know, now you're going to get a parking space. No, maybe not. You know what I mean? But don't change. If other things happen, you don't change. Because God has called you, and he has called you, and he's going to use you. And the people of God, this church is going to be blessed. Your family is going to be blessed. Your community is going to be blessed. People on your other job are going to be blessed because God has called you. So just that is my encouragement to you. Do not change. Be who you are. And God loves, it's just like the glory of God. It's like when people say, how does God get the ministry? Because God called. Because, truth be told, John the Baptist couldn't preach in most of our churches. But God called him. And we start thinking a certain image, a certain kind of person is people that are called by God. And there are some people in this group that came to kind of witness this pastor that I believe that he's calling to a mission trip to serve in some other capacities. So when God and calls you by your full name, Zachary, or whatever your name may be, that God has a call on our lives to serve him, to serve him in a local church that has an effect not just here, but everything that surrounds here. So stay faithful to who you are. God called you by name, and he's going to use you in some way. So I just want to encourage you, continue to pray for your time. I'm just well pleased to be a part of this process. Amen.
My name is Bob Rubin from Glen Burnie Baptist Church. It's a real privilege to be here. It's a real honor to be part of this special ordination. I participated on the ordination council, and the council was very clear. It was very comprehensive. Very long, wasn't it? But it was good. And Zach answered all of the questions, all of the theological questions, all of the practical questions, all of the personal questions, and you can be proud. You can be proud of your youth pastor. You can be proud that we are having this ordination for Zach, and embrace him, support him, and love him. Had the privilege to go on a missions trip with Zach to Nicaragua a couple of years ago, and during that missions trip, Lauren Burris kept on challenging Zach and Dave, let's race. And so finally they said, okay, Lauren, we're going to race. We said, go, and guess who the fastest one in the race was?
Wrong answer, boo.
It was Zach. Zach was the fastest one. He tore it up. And she still denies it to this day, but he tore it up. But there's a greater race to run. And it says that in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, it says, lay everything aside. Lay everything aside. It says, run with endurance the race that is set before you. And you've got a race to run, and you've got a life to live, and you've got a ministry to give, and give it, and put the blinders of God's word on. And don't look to the left, don't look to the right, but as you race and as you run, invite everyone to join you in the race. Invite everyone to come along. So calling them, follow me, even as I follow Christ. That's what you want to do. As you run, remember this. Remember who you serve and remember why you serve. You have been called, not by a council, not by people, but you have been called by the King of Kings, by the Lord of Lords. He has called you, and you serve at the request of the King. You serve as an ambassador of reconciliation. You are called to call hearts, to call lives, to call people to be reconciled to God. That is your calling. And so I encourage you to serve with humility, serve with wisdom, and I just pray and I ask that God will bless your ministry, bless your life with His favor, and that God will bless your family with peace and joy and strength. I wish you the greatest congratulations on this very special day.
Trustworthy saying, whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him. And he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap.
That's happened before, so let me just say this up front. Most people have to put their glasses on to read. I have to take mine off. So I don't look stupid when I'm going like this. You just kind of know what's going on. I'm about as crazy as Zach, so hopefully you guys will excuse me today. But it's a special privilege and honor for me to be here. Zach and I have known each other for, I don't even know how long. I guess it really hasn't. It seems like it's been forever, but maybe about 10 years or so, maybe a little bit more. I actually knew his wife a little bit before that. But Zach is one of these really crazy guys. And let me say this, because as I was going over my notes yesterday, and just what I wanted to say, I don't know how many preachers we have in the house, but sometimes you just feel like God is directing you to somewhere different. And it's okay, because you know that he's speaking and you know he'll give you the words to say. And so as he did, I'm thinking, okay, God, you know, because Dave's only given me 10 minutes to speak. You know, it's not even enough time for Redskins to score. But you know, and I thought about it. I said, you know, these guys are going to speak about God's calling and character and commitment. I want to speak about something, God, that it's personal, that I can really encourage Zach with, and I felt like God was saying, here you go, this is it, and I'm like, okay, and I'm writing down, and I write this phrase down, and I'm like, this is it, because this is unique. Nobody's gonna, it's not so much unique, but nobody's gonna talk about this tonight. And I wrote down this phrase, be who you are. And I'm like, nobody's gonna speak about that. Of course, my good friend Marty, I heard someone sneaking around the door of the church, and it was Marty. So, anyway, if you turn in your copy of the scriptures to 1 Samuel chapter 17, most of you know the story, so I won't go into the background. I'm going to jump right in. And maybe it'd just be better if I just keep these off for the entirety of my time. And I'll try to do this in 10 minutes. And if I don't, by the time I finish, anyway, I won't talk about Redskins anymore. Here we go. Let's jump down in verse 31. If you don't know this story, I definitely encourage you to read the entirety of the chapter. But verse 31, and I'll just kind of start speaking as we're reading. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he's been a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth, and he arose against me. I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Zach, and I hope this spills over to not just Zach and Stephanie, but also for all of us who are here, who are followers of Lord Jesus Christ, because this is a message for all of us. All of us have been called. All of us have been called, if we are believers, we've all been called to a life in ministry, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of us who've been called to vocational ministry have a more selected calling. But Zach, I want to encourage you today to be who you are. I want to encourage you to not apologize for how God has wired you to do ministry. See, I understand, even now more so than Marty has gone before, is this is something that young ministers and young pastors struggle with. It took me a long time. I felt like I couldn't be myself. I felt like I was a fish out of water at times. One of the things I love about David, who's one of my favorite characters in all the scripture, is that David, number one, knew who he was. And in order to be who God has called you to be who God has created you to be, and to fulfill the purpose that God has in your life specifically, you first have to know who you are. David knew who he was, and that includes not only knowing who you are, but knowing what God has done in your life. Because there are going to be some people who are what I call no heads. It's not that they don't have a head, it's that they always shake their head no. No, you can't do that. No, you can't be that. No, you can't dream that. And you have to be so sure and so confident in who God has called you to be that you say, it doesn't matter that this giant is in front of me. I know what God has called me to do, and I've seen him working in my life. You have to know who you are. And when you know who you are, you can accept who you are. Let's keep going. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over the armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these. When you know who you are, you can accept who you are. And accepting the truth of who you are is wonderful. Because not only do you accept who you are, You accept that God has called you to be you and nobody else. I love what the writer says. David tried in vain to go. You know, there'll be times that people will say, this is the way you should do it. No, you shouldn't do it this way. And you've got to have the confidence not only to know who you are, but to accept the truth of who you are and say, no, I can't go the way you've called me to go because you didn't call me into ministry. God called me into ministry, and this is the way he's wired me. And I accept fully who I am. You have to know who you are. Zach, you have to accept who you are. And when you know who you are, you accept who you are, then you can be who you are. Let's keep going. So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. See, David was a warrior long before he met Goliath. In fact, if you look back in chapter 16, verse 18, it tells us that he was a warrior. But he wasn't a Saul warrior, he was a shepherd warrior. He knew who he was. I was counseling a young lady yesterday in our church, and she's gone through some challenges. She's had multiple brain tumors and multiple surgeries. And so it doesn't take long. You see her, and I'm not talking ill of her, but her hair is usually unkempt, and she's very plain, loose clothing, and usually a very blank look on her face. And you can tell she's not all the way there sometimes. But there's times you sit and talk to her, and she's crystal clear. And I sat down to talk with her. She was going through some issues with some people who she lives with, some of her family members. And she said, Pastor, it's really tough to love people sometimes, isn't it? I said, oh, yeah. And this is what she said. She said, I'm trying hard, Pastor. And I've talked to people all week, understand? I've talked to people all week. This was the most profound thing that anybody had said to me all week. She said, I tried hard, Pastor, but I don't like plastic. I like real. And I knew what she was saying. See, I'm from Tacoma Park, Maryland, and I don't know all that there is to know. But I have an inkling of an idea that when it comes to living out the purpose that God has called us to, he's not very fond of plastic. See, he knew you, Zach. Like he told the prophet Jeremiah, he separated you from before you were born. And he's called you to not only serve him and to serve people. Before you were born, God knew you and had his eye on you. And he wired you in a specific way to do ministry in a specific way. You never have to apologize for it. You never have to be something that you're not. You never have to be plastic. Because when you know yourself, you accept yourself, you can be who God has called you to be. Man, I'm excited about the future. I'm excited that we get to officially call you Pastor Zach now. You've been pastoring all along. And you know I love you from the bottom of my heart. One of my baby brothers. Just so excited, man, about what God is doing in your life. So excited that you're with a man of God who loves you and who loves the church and someone you can follow as they follow Christ. So be encouraged, my brother. We love you. We look forward to all the great things of God's going to do in your life.
Thank you.
mean, I was going to sing for you. But I figured you would cry for a different reason. Well, this week I was sharing with our family about, you know, what's coming up for the weekend. And we talked about, you know, what's coming up on Saturday. And I asked my girls, I said, I have four daughters, and they're very close to Michaela's age and Leilana's age. And we're just talking about seeing them and seeing our church family on Saturday and what we were going to do. And I said, do you know what's going to happen on Saturday? And I got two responses. One of my daughters said, it's Pastor Zach's funeral. My brother, sometimes in the field, pastoral ministry is like that. But you can take hope. There is one who has defeated death and has conquered every trial and tribulation that you will go through. He said, I have overcome the world. John 16:33. The other daughter, or another one of my daughters, said, no, it's not Pastor Zach's funeral. It's Pastor Zach's coronation. You have not arrived in ministry. You have not completed all there is to learn. The Lord is going to use the length of your entire life to bring sanctification to your mind, your heart, your ministry. And if you have any doubts, or you think too highly of yourself, you can just ask those little girls and that sweet wife of yours. Pastoral ministry is to follow the model of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, whoever would become great among you must be a servant. Well, another biblical writer spoke of Jesus who said, have this mind amongst yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant. So pastoral ministry has a bit of funeral, has a bit of coronation, but ultimately it's a reminder to be humble. Humility is essential to holiness. Another scripture says in Isaiah 66, but this is the one unto whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit, who trembles at my word. So in this final time of just a encouragement and challenge for Zach and for our church body, I wanted to share three challenges or charges to us this evening. Two for Pastor Zach and one for our church family. They come from 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'll begin reading. I charge you, Paul speaking to a younger pastor, Timothy, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and at his appearing in his kingdom. Number one, I want to encourage you, Pastor Zach, to grasp your focus. Grasp your focus. Paul is telling young Timothy that in the midst of his charge of being a pastor, it's in the presence of God. It's in the presence of Christ Jesus. Your entire life is to be lived out in coram Deo, the Latin phrase, before the face of God. That God's hand, no doubt, and his hand of favor is upon you, but your life is to be lived in his presence. That, at times, will overwhelm you. It ultimately will overflow, hopefully, in gratefulness and humility back unto the Lord. And now I just want to encourage you to remind you to stay in that calling of being in God's presence. Never take that for granted. That being a leader and being a servant of his church, it's a stewardship. And in secular leadership, the call is to constantly do this, and people will follow you. Do that, and you'll have success. Do that, and greatness will arrive after you. But biblical leadership is about doing, but it's more than that. It's about being. Being who you are. Your most ultimate call in being in God's presence is to be in before his face. As the psalmist said, your face, O Lord, do I seek. Psalm 27:8. Another psalm in Psalm 119:135. Make your face, O Lord, shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. So may that be the grasp of your focus for pastoral ministry. Number two is to give out your faith. Give out your faith. Paul tells young Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Then he says, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith, and finally there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which is the Lord, the righteous judge, who will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. His call is to give out your faith. Just like Paul told Timothy, we live in a culture that wants to be politically correct, and your call, Pastor Zach, is not to be politically correct, but to be biblically correct. That too often our world trumpets tolerance over truth. As a pastor, you're not to scratch itching ears. As a pastor, you're to speak the truth, and to do so in love. So ultimately, not only are you called and charged to be living in God's presence, but you are also called and charged to live as God's preacher, to preach the word. There's a content to what you are to preach, and you are not to make it up. It's already been given to you. It is the gospel. It is the word, that very word that has come to us from the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. That is what we are to preach. He says to be ready in season, in any season. That's a reminder for you in your life, in your current circumstances, to, whether that's in secular employment or in church ministry. That's a call for you to be ready in season, in any season. And I know that life can be hard, and carrying two jobs, carrying a family, being a husband, being a Father, but your call is to be in his presence and be a preacher. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. In pastoral ministry, it's more than just preaching, but there is a priority in pastoral ministry that does exist for preaching. As Paul said in another place to the church in Corinth, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. He tells young Timothy in another letter, do not neglect the gift that you have, which was given to you by prophecy. When the council of elders laid their hands on you, practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching, on the doctrine. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Another place he says, do your best to present yourself to God as one of a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. He tells Timothy to be watchful. That means to be biblically and culturally alert. I'm reminded of what was spoken of the Old Testament men of Issachar, who said that they understood the times and they knew exactly what to do. That's your call. And I can't think of a culture, a day, an age, a season to speak to this next generation who is culturally going far different than what biblical Christianity is all about. So your call is to be watchful, to know the culture, not to be consumed by the culture, but to know the culture and then to answer it with God's word, God's truth. Do the work of evangelists. Zach, may I encourage you to do that, to be an example, to live out your faith, to share your faith, and then to equip people to be an evangelist too. That is your call as a pastor, is to be that example and then to be an equipper. Ultimately, fulfill your ministry. In a word, faithfulness. Faithfulness. Jesus said, one who is faithful in very little will also be faithful in much. And I know that's your heart's desire. As that, you have two charges. Grasp your focus and give out your faith. And church family, we have one more charge. It is to guard our flock. Guard our flock. As I read the closing end of this letter, this letter that Paul is writing to young Timothy, and Timothy is a pastor in the church of Ephesus, and it's towards the end of Paul's life, and so this is very important in Paul's life, but also for Timothy's life. See, towards the end of this letter, verses 9 and following, it becomes very personal. There's a lot of names. And I read as follows. Be diligent, Timothy, to come to me quickly. Paul is yearning for Timothy, this relationship to be kindled back again, that friendship, that connection, that encouragement to one another. And then he says this. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and he has departed for Thessalonica. Another guy, Crescens, he's departed for Galatia. Another guy, Titus, he's gone to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Go get Mark too and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus, I have sent to Ephesus. Timothy, would you bring the cloak that I have left with Carpus at Troas when you come? And oh yeah, don't forget the books, especially the parchments. Alexander, the coppersmith, he did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, Timothy, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Then he gets dear. He says, greet Prissa and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus, you try to do better. Trophimus, I have left and Miletus sick. Do your utmost to come to me before winter. Eubulus greets you, as well as Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Reminded that relationships matter. There's over 16 people. There's like 18 people plus all the brethren. Plus all the brethren and the sisters. Over 18 people who are listed in the final towards the end of this letter. I'm reminded that in pastoral ministry, some people will be a great help to you. Paul was saying, Timothy, I need you. I'm getting towards the end of my life and I need some encouragement. I need to see you. Bring the books. You stop by, go say hi to this person, but some people will be a great help to you, and that is true in ministry, Zach. But at the very same time, some people will seek to harm you. That's just the truth. Some people will desert you, some people will disappoint you. Only God is dependable. That's what Paul found out. He said, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Only God is truly dependable. May your hope only be in him, not in the church. Not in people, not in your ministry, unfortunately not even in our own family, but only in God. And that's where your family would want your hope to be. Zach, today I'm also saying that personally that I love you. You are a brother to me. that you are a friend, that you are one who certainly can count on and am encouraged by the Lord's work in your life. And together as a church family, we're saying that as well. Together as a church family, we say together that we love you, that we're praying for God to do great and mighty things in your life and through your life and your ministry. And church family, our role is to guard against love in the world, like Demas and Alexander. Unfortunately, they did not. They caused Paul great harm. They caused God's church great harm. They caused God's kingdom great harm. They were the tire in the mud that was getting the car stuck in gear. We must not be like them. We must guard our flock. And lastly, I just want to say, church family, thank you for not being like those men. Thank you for being a church family who cares for your pastors, who celebrates and says, yes, let's do an ordination service. Yes, let's make it a big deal. Yes, let's invite guests and friends and family. And yes, we're going to have a big feast in a few minutes. Let's do that, all right? We want to make a big deal about this because this is important. Their relationships matter. It's good to take time to pause and celebrate what God is doing in our lives together. And to support your pastors, I just want to say, church family, thank you for doing that in my life, in Zach's life, for our other leadership, Kara and Brenda and Ms. Judy, for our entire staff. You are a loving church family. And so together, God has great things ahead in store for us. We must stay united in love and urgent and about leaving a legacy for our future generations. That's our heart. That's God's heart. May that be true of us today. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, again, we are your servants. We are your people. We want to honor you. And we thank you for what you're doing in Zach's life. And at this time, we just want to encourage him. We want to continue to pray for him and just seek your hand of blessing upon his life. And so, God, would you allow this time of prayer and commissioning for Zach be used for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. This time I'm going to ask Zach if you will come and sit forward here. And Tony, would you grab that chair? And if you will just have a seat there. And those who have been ordained in deacon ministry and also in pastoral ministry, this is open to all individuals who have been ordained for deacon and pastoral ministry. If you would just come forward and maybe just form a line on both sides here and just kind of pass by Zach and just kind of put your hand on his shoulder and just pray over him. It doesn't have to be real long. It can just be something short and sweet. But just pray a blessing and encouragement over Zach's life as he today is ordained for pastoral ministry. So all deacons, pastors in the house, please feel free. This is not a time for everybody else to check out. This is a time for you to pray as well. There's some prompts on the screen to just pray for Zach to have that holy focus, to have that humble faith and family, and also to have that hunger for the Lord Jesus Christ. So all of you pray together over Zach as these men pass by Zach. Yeah. Zach, we pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. We pray that the Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Stephanie and the girls, I think you come up if you want to. You come forward as well. This is an orchid for mostly for Stephanie. And then also in here is Zach's ordination certificate. It's signed by all the men who were part of his ordination council. And secondly, on the back of the bulletin is a picture of this canvas, this artwork here. It's a picture of a lighthouse that also has many words, one with Zach, your name, but also each member of your family and your immediate family, and also all the words that come from the pastoral charge from 1 Timothy and in 2 Timothy as well. We just wish God's blessing upon you and just greatness upon you for his grace for all. We're going to sing a couple more songs just to end exalting the Lord together and make sure that we have our focus on him. And at the end of that, Zach will come forward and pray for us and seed together.
Yeah, no. Okay. I was tempted to hit stop, but...
Like a river.
When peace like a river.
guys can sit down real quick and then we'll pray. Just wanted to first of all just say thank you. Two feelings come up. Overwhelmed, just feeling overwhelmed, and also feeling humble. First and foremost, I'm thankful to God for the salvation that He gives. There's nothing, as Marty already said, I'm crazy. It's on get out. So I am very, like, just out there, and I don't deserve what God gave me. And I'm thankful to Him that He died on the cross while, the scripture says, while I'm a sinner. And so I thank Him that even while I was His enemy, He died on the cross for me. So I'm thankful to Him for that. I'm thankful to Him for my call. Some of you guys, if you didn't know, I felt called since I was 10. I didn't act right all the way till now, but I still don't. Yes, I probably don't. But I'm, you know, so thankful to God that He kept me, even in that time of disobedience, that God still had His hand on me. For some of my friends that I grew up in high school, you guys know what I'm talking about. I'm thankful to God for that. And also I'm thankful, Dave, Pastor Dave, I'm thankful to you, man. I'm thankful that God orchestrated that my family and I come to this place. And thank you to all of you. It took a lot for us to get here, actually my wife had to quit her job for me to actually end up coming here, and I can tell you guys that story later, but I'm thankful that as a pastor, you helped me, you mentored me, you continued to give me wise words, and ultimately you prayed for me. That's the most that I can ever ask from you, and so thank you so much for that. Thank you for allowing me. As Marty and Darren already said, let me lead the way I lead, and you know, let my personality come out. And thank you, church. I'm thankful to my family, obviously. I'm thankful to you guys. Thank you, Michaela and Stephanie, for saying I was crying. I didn't want to turn around so you guys didn't see me. my sister got it on video, so if you want to ask her, you can get that blackmail. But you know, I was very surprised. I actually didn't know nobody thought that at all. So thank you guys. I'm thankful to Stephanie for being a godly woman and a godly wife, for continuing to pray for me, standing in the gap for me, not even standing in the gap for myself. So I'm thankful to you for that. Ultimately, I'm thankful also to my church family. You guys have embraced me for who I am. You know, made fun of me, but thank you for embracing me for who I am. I'm so thankful for this time. So, like I said, I'm overwhelmed by the love. I'm overwhelmed by the call. Just overwhelmed by the fact that ministry is not easy. And I don't want to view it as it is. And so, then humbled by the fact that I need God to be able to do this. So, if there's anything I can ask from each one of you guys from this day, some of you guys already call on a regular basis, ask me to pray for me and those things. But please continue to pray for me. Continue to pray for my family. I have not made it by any means, as you guys know. And so please continue to pray for me. I'll pray for us as we go down to eat. All right? And all this Redskin Cowboys talk, none of that around here. There's tables downstairs, and they're in teal and orange. All right? So go finish. All right? So let's pray. Dear Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for who you are. Just in awe of who you are and what you've done, God. I thank you that you created us. Thank you that you chose to create us even though you knew we were going to go against you, God. And it says in your word that you sent your son even before that took place, God. You made the way knowing we were going to be disobedient. And so I am so overwhelmed, God, by who you are. I'm so overwhelmed by the fact that you have called me to this thing called ministry. And ultimately, all that means is service. And so I just pray, God, that you allow me to have the same heart that Jesus had when he got on his knees, God, and washed his disciples' feet. Ultimately, to have the type of humility that he had, God, where he gave up his throne in heaven to become like one of us. And ultimately, he died, and died capital punishment. He died as death on the cross, God. I just pray that you just help me to be that way, God, and to serve others in that way, to think about others before my own needs. So just overwhelmed, just humbled by who you are, And I just pray that you just be with him, God. As the future, whatever it may be, continue to be with this church family. I thank you for those that are already here, God, and I thank you for the ones that you're going to bring, God. And so we just thank you so much for what you're doing in our lives and in this church, God. I pray that you continue to help us to be a beacon of light, not only on this street and block here on Benfield Road, God, but ultimately in the world as we go forth on mission trips and all of those things that you're calling us to do. So continue to be with us as your church. I thank you for Jim and the crew, God, and what they've done downstairs. Thank you. I know that the food is good because I've tasted it. And so I thank you so much for that. I pray that you just continue to bless us during this time. Bless that food. Let it nourish your bodies. Bless the hands that prepare it for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Church family, please help our guests, one, know where they're going downstairs in our fellowship hall, but also, two, to make sure that they have a seat first before us as a church family. We want to just thank you so much for coming, and if you're a friend of Zach or family member, and please join us downstairs in fellowship.